We're going to switch now to another crime-solving technology in the news, ballistics fingerprinting. Joining us now to discuss that is Joseph Vince. He's a former chief of the Crime Guns Analysis Branch of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. He's now head of a consulting firm called Crime Gun Solutions. He's with us by phone from Frederick, Maryland. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
What is the technology behind ballistic fingerprinting? What is it, and how does it work?
Well, the technology was one that's been around for over a decade, and it takes an image of projectiles or cartridge cases and assigns an electronic signature to those images, puts it in a database, and is able to make comparisons. In the case of the projectile or the bullet, it would be, as I recall, 8,200 comparisons in less than 2 seconds.
Wow. And are these absolutely unique?
Yes. Every time a bullet is fired from a handgun or a rifle, it receives rifling. That enables a twist in the projectile so it'll go straight and accurate. And that's unique to that firearm, just like your fingerprint is to your finger. And so that's how forensic examiners are able then to compare one to the other and say they were fired from the same firearm.
Now, some people are also talking about including information about the shell case as well. Is there similar kinds of information on that?
Right. The same equipment that I refer to, it's called the Integrated Ballistic Identification System, and it compares both bullets and shell casings. In the shell casing, it's a little easier because it's a flat surface. And what you're looking for is the unique impression that a firing pin makes on the primer of a bullet, as well as if it's a semi-automatic, there'll be other markings that have to do with the ejection of the cartridge case from the firearm.
Now, I guess we've all seen these, TV shows where they compare the bullets and say this is no question that comes from the suspect's .38. I guess what's new is the idea of putting it all in this gigantic database.
Well, that's something. That's the next step that I really think we have to take. And let me say this, Neil. This is not a gun issue. This is a public safety issue. And I can tell you, I don't oppose gun ownership. However, when you think about it, law enforcement in 1890 involved having a gun, a badge, and a club. And when we had cities of maybe a few hundred, well, law enforcement could enforce the laws that way because you knew who the bad guys were. But we're in metropolitan areas now of millions, and unless we allow law enforcement to leverage technology, they're not going to be able to do their job in the effective way that we want them to do and keep our families safe.
Is it possible if you purchase a gun, and I guess they all have to be test-fired, so I guess somebody somewhere has this information somewhere, is it possible that after you buy it, though, you could change that signature somehow?
Oh, certainly. That is very possible. There's no question about that, that can happen. But it's similar to knowing, you may know that you need oil in your car, but you don't change it, and you certainly don't fix your transmission. What we have found since the technology has been out there, that's happened very infrequently. And a real good analogy of this technology with something that has occurred in the past is the fingerprint itself. If you think about it, 100 years ago, when they started to say, we ought to try this new Fandango process and compare fingerprints, the same excuses people were giving to not doing that, they're giving to this. Well, criminals can use acid on their fingertips. They can surgically alter the fingerprint. And that's true, and they can even use gloves. However, we went forward with that, and we found that it was a tremendous investigative tool and very successful. We even found that it had some other beneficial values, such as you know, if you join our military, all our servicemen and women are fingerprinted. And that goes in there for several reasons. One, obviously to do background checks, to check and see if that's the same information, mm-hmm. didn't change your name, but also, God forbid that they would get injured or killed, it would be a quick way to identify it. You can relate that to the same way. It's not just that we're putting good and bad together. We're doing this for the overall good of society.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get a call. Greg joins us now from Provo, Utah.
I understand that this technology has been required in several jurisdictions, I think Maryland and New York, for some time now. And I'm just wondering if it's been at all effective in solving cases at all.
Well, Greg, as I understand it, both of those jurisdictions have used it for 2 years or less, and it's only for handguns. And it works because when they are test fired at the factory, the projectiles are then placed in the box, and when these new guns are sold, then it is added into the system along with the state registration system. And very few states.
Any crimes been solved because of that technology being used?
Can you say that again, Greg?
Have any crimes been solved because of that technology being used?
I'm not that familiar with it, but I do know this. As a matter of fact, I was in Florida last week, and the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office, who 6 months ago received this technology, advised me that they have linked 8 different shooting incidents together that they knew didn't know were related, and that have started solving crimes because of this.
Greg, thanks very much. Good question. Here's an email from Carol McCall in Olean, New York. On the ballistic fingerprinting proposal, all that will tell someone is that I bought the gun. It will not tell them where it is now. I could have sold it to someone privately, who sold it to someone, who sold it to someone, who sold it to someone, from whom it was stolen. As a gun owner and as an American citizen, I'm not convinced by the people who tell me that I'll be safe if I just turn over a few more of my rights. I don't think absolute safety is possible. It scares me to see the number of people who are willing to toss away hard-won rights to pursue it.
You know, in investigations, what law enforcement tries to do is come up with leads that'll take them to the next point. This is exactly what this will do. And that's the kind of information you want to find out. Okay, if you sold it, who did you sell it to? If you didn't, then let's determine why you don't have it. So these are all things that give law enforcement leads. And God knows, in the sniper investigations now, that's exactly what we need to solve this crime.
Let's go now to Danae. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
That's correct.
In Gallatin, Tennessee.
Yes.
Okay. What's your question?
Whatever happened to good old-fashioned police work? I mean, crimes have been solved for hundreds of years with the good old pavement-pounding police work. You know, why do we have to give in to technology? I think, in a sense, that makes us rely on things that that are fleeting. I don't know that technology is going to do some of the, just like this sniper, for instance. You know, canvassing the areas. I know you can't cover all the area with a certain amount of people, but is it worth giving up our liberties to catch this guy?
Joe Vince?
Well, I agree with you. I don't think we have to give up any liberties, but we've got to work smarter and not just harder. There's nothing that's going to replace the good investigator. The better the investigator and the quicker that we can solve crimes, we know that the crime will be solved. The longer it takes, the less chance we're going to solve a crime. And in this instance, we've got this big haystack and we have to find that needle. If we can use technology to do that and we save 1, 2, how many lives, the better off we are. And law enforcement's got to leverage technology with the populace that we now have.
Thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Joe Vince, thank you for joining us today. We obviously, this issue is not going to go away, and if it makes progress in Congress, we'll be back revisiting some of the political aspects of it, but interesting to find out how the technology works. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
Joe Vince was Chief of Crime Guns Analysis for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms here in Washington, D.C. His security consulting firm is Crime Gun Solutions. He was speaking with us from his office in Frederick, Maryland. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.